So some Greeks come to see Jesus, and Jesus hears about it, and he says, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And he's referring to his passion and death. Because the Greeks came, we don't see the mystery there, the conversion of the Gentiles. This is a sign that his passion is to arrive and that he's to die and to save the world and save the Greeks and save everyone. Our Lord then says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Our Lord is referring to his torture and passion and death, and he's calling this glory. I'm about to be glorified in my death, in my humiliation. It's this kind of paradox of the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is like a paradox, something that we don't expect that happens, something that we would consider is not true, and yet it is true. These paradoxes of the life of Jesus. In our life, our Christian life is full of paradoxes. Life itself is full of paradoxes. This is the way life is today. And the truths are not what we expect them to be. Life is not what we expect it to be many times. God's plan for us is very often not what we expect it to be. And we have to be ready for that. We need to expect the unexpected. In our life, we expect, you know, we leave we're at God's disposal. God can do with us whatever He wants, and He will, unless we, you know, resist Him and oppose Him. Then maybe He'll let us run our own life and make a mess of our own life. But we truly live in a place of paradoxes that God has created, and you know, it's, we could say it started with Adam and Eve's first fall. You know, prior to that, everything was in order. You know, our passions were controlled by our reason. Everything we did was a pleasure and a joy and entertainment. Everything was easy, you know, before the first sin. And yeah, you know, that's the way, of course, it will be in heaven. But when the first sin happened, everything turned upside down. Passions are now in control in many ways, you know. And you know, animals who were our friends are not afraid of us. They run away from us. You know, everything is, you know, turned upside down in so many ways. And death is at our doorstep, and suffering is unavoidable. You know, that's not what I want, and yet that's what I get. This is the way it is because of sin. And now in Jesus, when he came and he threw himself into this paradox of original sin, and his life is, you know, he comes as the Savior, as the King, and yet he comes on a bed of straw, born into poverty, the first paradox right away, straight away, right in the beginning, born into a humble, poor, parentage, family, and then he lives in obscurity for 30 years. He doesn't show his power, doesn't show his wisdom. He lives in quietude and in silence, and of course he's setting an example for us. But it is a paradox, right? He has a lot to say. He has a lot to teach us, and yet 30 years he doesn't say anything. You know, And then when he does speak, he's contradicted, he's threatened and opposed and by many people, and he's not appreciated by all the miracles and the goodness he did. And then he goes to his passion and death, and it looks like a complete and total failure. And yet we know that this paradox of his complete and total failure in the eyes of the world is a complete and total victory. And we look at this paradox of the crucifix, and we see what God has done for us. We see the immensity of his humility and love and goodness there. And he's crowned his humiliation with real glory. So this is what he's saying here. When the Son of Man is come to be glorified, is now to be glorified as he goes to his passion. You know, and this is his life. You know, and he teaches us so many other unexpected things. You know, when he says the grain of wheat has to die before it can produce much fruit. You know, something we don't expect. and a symbol of our own death. As we die to ourselves, we bear fruit. As we die to ourselves, we realize our vocation. We realize happiness and joy. We get joy when we humble ourselves. We get joy when we deny ourselves and we give to God. We're not denying ourselves for that sake and only for that. We're denying ourselves so we can give to our neighbor, so we can give to God. We can give our sacrifice to our Lord. You know, all the teachings of Jesus are like, you know, turn things upside down. You know, his philosophy is totally the opposite of the world. And this is what we are called to live by. So as we look at our life and as we look at what we should be doing, we look at the teachings and expect them to be different, very different, the opposite even, upside down. Jesus says, if you lose your life, you will save it. If you find your life, you will lose it. You find your life in this world, you live for this world. You know how opposite it is to this world. The way to heaven is the cross. The way to heaven is narrow, paved with thorns and maybe hot coals, and it's narrow, it's difficult, it's an uphill road. This is the way to the heaven. You know, a paradox compared to what the world tells us to make everything easy. Get rid of all your crosses. Get rid of everything difficult. Seek yourself. Seek number one. Seek money and glory and all that. Our Lord's telling us the opposite. Seek humiliations and seek to be the least, to be the last. If you're the last, you'll be the first in heaven. You know, the first will be the last in many cases, and the last will be the first. You know, and he says, if you want to get to heaven, become a little child, become like a little child. Did you think of that? Did you expect that? That I need to become small, I need to become little, I need to become humble? Do you think of that when you're born, when you grow up and be a teenager? Do you think, you instinctively think that you need to be little? No, it's the opposite of what we are naturally think. Our Lord teaches us things that are so completely opposed to the world and what our natural tendency is to be. And so we need to kind of think in those terms. You know, I was just kind of reading Chesterton's books now, and he is the king of paradox. The king of paradox. Everything you read is just what you wouldn't expect, and it's fascinating. And, you know, he's really kind of mirroring the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. You know, the man of common sense, they call him. And he sort of patterns himself off of St. Thomas Aquinas, who is really, he claims, is the saint of common sense, too. He brought common sense to theology and to philosophy. And, you know, so we too need to embrace the paradoxes of life, the difference, the things we don't expect, and you know, go with God's flow, go with what he leads us to do, and you know, ride the wave, you know, enjoy the ride, so to speak, and the adventure that God will bring us on, and not expect them to be the way we expect them to be. But to do his will brings many surprises. You know, we can become and may become something where we had no idea we were going to be. You know, Mother Teresa, she had no idea she was going to be the fame of the world. And she, this little tiny woman who didn't want anything for herself, and she was raised and exalted. You know, Our Lady too. And, you know, that's another paradox of humility. You know, humility is a paradox. The least will be the greatest. You know, like the image of the shadow. You know, you try to grab a hold of your shadow, and it will elude you. If you run away from it, it'll follow you. A symbol of humility. If we seek glory, it will elude us. If we run away from it, it will find us. You know. So we embrace the world the way that God has left it. Jesus didn't take away the upside down, topsy-turvy way the world is. He didn't change that with his passion and death, but he showed us the way to live with it, to live in this world of paradoxes, by living, basically doing the opposite of our tendencies, by following him, looking to Jesus, following his teachings, following his example, the way of the cross, the way of prayer, the way of self-denial, the way of love, love for God, love even for our enemies, another paradox that we are to call to forgive without ending, forgive without ending, love without ending, love even everyone, love even our enemies. This is what Jesus did and taught and set an example for us, and so we put it into practice.
Oh, misericordia.